Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the AA meeting. I am your host, Jamie Briggs, as always on Analog Addiction. This is the weekly news podcast. As I said, thank you for joining me. And as we usually do, we hop straight into what I have been playing. Now, over the last week, I've basically just been playing one game, and that's WWE 2K14. I received it last week for review. I've been playing it extensively. Had a massive session over the weekend with some friends at my mate's house. We did some local couch co-op. And if you're a big WWE fan or one that's played the games fairly extensively, for myself, I remember back in the days we'd just bring it all the way on the PS2, I'm pretty sure. And then the games before that, Know Your Role, I think, on PS1. I've basically played almost every WWE game, aside from, I think, maybe 08. Aside from that, I've played almost every game since then. I still hold Here Comes the Pain as the pinnacle of the series. It was excellent roster, excellent mechanics, really just excellent all around. There was a lot to do there. With WWE 2K14, this is the first game coming out of the 2K license deal that happened earlier this year when THQ broke down, went bankrupt, I mean. Basically, what we've got here, it's still used, developed. It's very similar to last year's game, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you have played 2013, I think it was just 2013, I think, WWE 13, there was an AE, Absolute Aero mode. Now, basically, we still have that mode. It's been reskinned. It's now WrestleMania mode. There's a lot to do. I've been playing a lot of this game, and I still haven't got through that mode yet. I still have two matches to go in that. The amount of detail in these modes to each matches is really incredible when you think about it. We've had a lot of lackluster titles in the WWE series lately, and I think just the attention to detail in like making sure, you know, during the WrestleMania history, we encounter some superstars multiple times, and you'll have aspects where they're wearing the same attire as they were that year. They are having their unique soundtrack, theme song, entrance music that was for that WrestleMania. And, you know, it's these simple details that I don't think the WWE series would usually go to. Usually they would just, like, throw the character in and you play as that. But like, if I'm playing The Rock at WrestleMania whatever, and then I'm playing him at like WrestleMania 28 or whatever like that, there's a significant difference. In even though they're slight, you can actually see the differences in the character models and everything about them, and it's really appreciative. It really is like a love letter to WrestleMania fans and WWE fans in general. I personally, you know, I've gone through when I was a kid, I had a WrestleMania box set. I've watched every single WrestleMania. This is just bringing back all the memories of just some of my favorites, some of the best matches I've ever seen. I will say it's a little disappointing, you know, due to contracts and some other events. You know, some matches aren't in there. For instance, one of my favorite moments of WrestleMania history was, you know, the night Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero won the titles together, and that was an amazing moment. But as you know, Chris Benoit, you know, he won't be in another WWE game. And, you know, there was the matches with the Dudley Boys and the Hardys and ENC that were just epic, you know, the triple threat ladder matches, DLC matches, and they were really amazing. But, you know, due to TNA, these other superstars just aren't in it. There's certain matches like that are missing, but, you know, you can't really fault it. It's just that's how things have turned out. Graphically, I feel like superstars have looked better in past years. I feel like the crowd itself is really horrible. I know it doesn't really affect the gameplay, but the crowd itself is so bad that it really stands out. Especially when there's entrances when they are close to the crowd, you see how blocky and just horrible they look. And, you know, you'll be fighting in the ring and you'll look behind where the match is taking place, and you'll see like 8 of the same character models all in this one area, and it's really off-putting. Aside from that, there's a lot of creation modes. Many are very similar to last year. Not much has been added. If you've played WWE a couple of years ago, you'll probably see attire, outfits, and items that have been around for a long time. In the creation modes, you'll go through the selections and you'll see, oh man, that really looks familiar. It feels like, you know, the annual releases of these games is taking the toll on the series, but there's not much you can do there. But what's there is really enjoyable. You know, when I was playing couch co-op, as I said, there was a lot of glitches, problems, but that sort of added to the fun of it. We were having a lot more fun when that sort of stuff happened. It didn't take away from the experience. It was just, you know, you could see that the polish wasn't necessarily there. Not because they probably don't want to, it's just that they don't have the time. You know, you see hair clipping through other people, you'll see body parts clipping through, and it's, yeah, if you're a WWE fan, there's plenty here. Like I said, I've still got a lot to do before I can actually say that I'm done. I want to review it later this week. But yeah, if you're looking forward to the WWE series, I'd definitely go pick it up. So that's a little peek into the review, which will hopefully be out in a couple of days. Still haven't thought of a score, but positive so far. Moving on to the news, not too busy this week. There's only a few things to talk about. Let's talk about Xbox One. There's a lot of Xbox One news, which is surprising, seeing as it's this week in America that we actually see the PS4 release. We had Microsoft come out, they announced that there will be a lot of support for the Forza Motorsport 5, which will be exclusive for the system coming November 22nd. So there's going to be packs released every month, starting from the beginning of January. There will be a car. There's also going to be a car pack called the LaFerrari car pack, which will be available at launch. Basically, each pack's going to have 10 individual cars, and that will continue to be released until March 2014. What was interesting enough, there is a basically season pass that is available, and they said you get all the ones up until this date, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's more DLC after that. So that's good if you're a Forza Motorsport 5. I know when I posted this, a lot of people were like, you know, it kind of sucks they're not putting in the extra effort to just put it all out with the game itself, but, you know, support is optional if you want more content. Along with some generosity from Microsoft, they are handing out basically codes to users that are getting, who have been faithful to Microsoft over the years. You know, apparently it was due to a variety of factors, game stores, how much live you've purchased, and other factors. Basically, you get all the characters unlocked in Killer Instinct. Now, if you don't know, this is a free-to-play title, so you, I think you only get two characters to start off with. If you want to buy more, you can buy more, you don't have to. If you get this code, you get all the characters as they're released. I think there's going to be a few more released in packs, I think. But anyways, there was apparently a few other people that were lucky enough to get an Xbox One sent to them, or will be, along with some other titles and everything like that. So some nice generosity there on Microsoft's part. Moving over to some information I released only a couple of hours ago for local fans. If you don't know, I'm from Australia. Basically, it was just detailing everything that's going to be available for the Xbox One Australian launch app-wise. So, right now, locally, Xbox One owners on November 22nd will have access to Network 10's 10Play, SBS On Demand, and QuickFlix. On the global front, they will also have access to TD, Muzu TV, Twitch, Crackle, and Machinima. And as for the Microsoft developed apps, you also have access to Xbox Video, Xbox Fitness, Xbox Music, Internet Explorer, Skype, SkyDrive, and Upload. So there's going to be plenty of apps available. The Network 10 app and the SBS app are basically going to be there to help you catch up on TV shows you may have missed that day. And for Channel 10, there's going to be exclusive live streaming experiences, is what they have termed it. So we're not exactly sure what that means yet, but, you know, more content is more content. Moving over to Nintendo. Small news story, but we got confirmed that Marth will be coming out to the Super Smash Bros. Wii U and Super Smash Bros. 3DS titles, which will be released next year. You know, Marth was in the Wii version, so it's not too surprising, but nice to see another character confirmed. Over on the Steam / Linux front, firstly for Linux players, you can now purchase Metro Last Light. Excellent game, by the way. I absolutely loved it earlier this year. You can purchase that now, and if you do own it on Steam, you will get this copy in your Steam library. So you can just pick that up, and that will be there. It was also interesting to note in the story I posted, basically, anyone that is getting the beta version of the Steam box and the Steam controller will be getting a copy of Metro Last Light to play with it. That is pretty interesting for Deep Silver to be having a partnership here with Steam. You know, it's an excellent game. Hopefully it helps get the Steam box up to what it needs to be when it is released. I think it's late next year, but we have to wait and see. Last news story, not too huge, but significant in its own right. For Vita owners can now download firmware 3.0, which basically gets the handheld ready for the PS4, which, as I said, releases in only a couple of days in North America and a few more weeks for Australia and Europe. Basically, it will give you a PS4 link icon, which will allow you to do the remote play, and there's some other minor differences with parental controls and settings, and there's new features such as a panoramic mode for the PS Vita's camera. So very exciting. I have my PS4 pre-order, and I'm really much looking forward to the launch. I will talk about reviews and all that just in a second. We have some user questions from one of our previous past editors, Hubert Simmons, contacted me during the week. He wanted to know, would you recommend a Wii U to someone? I'm thinking about it because I really want to play Mario, and I find Nintendo games have better / easier local co-op to get non-gamers interested. This person likes the LEGO games and would like to play more games with them. It all depends. Personally, I don't own a Wii U. I've played a ton of it at a friend's house. If you can play co-op, you're going to have some good fun. I personally found Nintendo Land cooperative play to be really exciting, especially if you've got a good maybe 4 or 5 people there. Very intense, very exciting, very just fun, all-out fun. You know, you have it for berating your mates and everything like that. So I found that was great. If you don't have the ability to have that many people play with you, I would say that is a problem. Only because the single-player games look to be a little thin at the moment for the Wii U. And personally, the Mario and New Super Mario Brothers, I didn't quite enjoy with friends. If anything, it just made us all angry at each other. So you have to really consider that if that is the kind of experience you want. I saw we had a non-gamer with us, that she was playing along with us, and she didn't really have that much of a good time because it was just, you know, hectic. It was just crazy. So you have to consider that into it. But remember, you do have Super Mario 3D World, I think it is, coming later this year. I was excited for it, looking at trailers, but I saw some gameplay videos of multiplayer, and it didn't look to be that much different from New Super Mario Brothers. It looked like it's still the hectic mess that it always has been in multiplayer. But, like I said, there's going to be some big titles next year, with Super Smash and, you know, Donkey Kong and everything like that. There'll be hopefully some information on Zelda that might be coming out. But it all depends on basically the fact, is there enough to warrant the purchase? Like, for you personally, do you see there's enough single-player games? Do you think Mario will be enough for co-op? I personally, as I don't have the system, I haven't seen it enough to actually warrant a purchase, but hopefully want to get it one day. Second question. Also, which franchises would you like to see on the Vita? I'd like to see Infamous, and an offshoot idea is Ni No Kuni. Well, something from that universe. Anyways. Excellent choice on Ni No Kuni. The Wrath of the White Witch, which I played earlier this year, was excellent. Absolutely loved it. I was thinking about this earlier. I always have wanted Little Big Planet Karting to come to Vita. Don't get me wrong, I haven't played the PS3 version, but it seems like just a perfect fit for the Vita. I always assumed it was coming there, but when it released last year, it didn't. I was like, that's shocking. I was also thinking, you know, now that they have Borderlands coming, that's a really excellent game for them to bring. But I wouldn't be surprised or, you know, shocked if they brought Dead Island. If you think about it, you know, the graphics aren't amazing. There's a lot of grinding. There's a lot of content. I don't think it would push the system that much, especially if they're going to be able to put Borderlands 2 on there. I think it could be done. I think it definitely could be. And, you know, we've seen Dead Island 1 and Dead Island Riptide come out. They still haven't come out and given us Dead Island, you know, 2 or whatever. They could do an offshoot. They could do a little side project on the Vita, and I think it could work. I think it is quite addictive to the stage where, you know, this is a perfect sort of handheld game. You know, you can do the co-op stuff. You can do trading system with other Vitas on the wild. Stuff like that. I think it could be really interesting. But if not, you know, I would love a DMC. I do love Devil May Cry, but, you know, I don't know if the buttons and the setup of the handheld itself would warrant for a good action title. But, you know, we shall see how the God of War ports actually handle on the Vita. And then, who knows, maybe DMC might be a good fit. Yes, and there are the questions, there are the news stories. Let's quickly hop into Next Generation, what's actually happening here. Now, unfortunately, we only have one American staff member, everyone else is either in Europe or Australia, so our PS4s won't be coming until near the end of November. We are not big enough to actually get a PS4 sent to us personally, so we were waiting for our retail consoles to come out. Alongside that, I personally will be reviewing Resogun. I will hopefully be jumping into DC Universe Online and Warframed, hopefully give you a few MMO free-to-play title reviews coming at you. But I'm also penciled in for Assassin's Creed 4 on Next Generation. As you saw, if you have, we don't have an Assassin's Creed review up yet. Problems on our end. Hopefully we can get a Next Generation review, or at least a PC review, up very soon. But as I said, due to the lack of American editors, this is just the setup we have to work around, which we apologize for. Basically, Xbox One-wise, November 22, we have Robbie Key will be covering that system. Again, we're not quite big enough yet to get a retail Xbox One beforehand, so we will be waiting until our actual release date, and Dead Rising 3, hopefully some more titles will be coming review-wise for you guys. But otherwise, you know, we will be getting a Killzone review, we'll be getting a Knack review, we'll be getting a FIFA 14 Next Generation review. We will be pushing as much content as we possibly can with our limited resources. As if you are a big fan of AA, you know we push as much as we can. We try to give you as much content as possible, but we are still not the biggest fish in the sea. So there's just some things that we are just limited on what we are able to accomplish. As you saw over the weekend, as hopefully you've seen over the weekend, Analog Addiction went over a little redesign. I think it looks much better than it did. It looks much cleaner, much crisper, much easier to get to your content, and each article actually looks way more professional now than what it did last week. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed that. We are still looking into fixing the banner. There's a couple of other things we want to fix on the site. We want to hear your feedback. If you want to contact us, it's just analogaddiction@hotmail.com. Tell us, you know, what you'd like about it, what you don't like about it. You can also post on the Facebook page, which is simply Analog Addiction. You can find our fan page there. And from there, you should be able to find our group, which is simply Analog Addiction as well. And yeah, if you have any queries, any comments or anything like that, just post them all up there. Alongside that, you can always follow us on Twitter, which is @AnalogAddiction. And me on Twitter is @JamieAA. As I said, we hope to be covering Next Generation as much as possible over the next few days, the next few weeks, and into December. There'll be a lot of conversational pieces, a lot of editorials heading your way. So we will have Next Generation covered as best as physically possible. We almost have 500 fans on Facebook, so share that around, and keep an eye out for over the next few days. Hopefully have a new contest up very, very soon. So, thank you very much for sticking around. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening. And I also hope to have your appearance on the next AA meeting.